Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's a Monday. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Susie Jones with the news. We are here for the next 3 hours, and we are filled with excellent guests today, including right at the start, the former mayor of St. Paul, the former senator of this state, Norm Coleman, is with us. Norm, like all guests on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Norm played a significant part in the Pete Hegseth confirmation process. The Minnesota native was confirmed in a 51-50 Friday night vote to become the Secretary of Defense, and changes are already taking place under Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth. Norm, I appreciate your time. I want to get you to react. And first of all, I want to say I have great respect for what Pete Hegseth has done intellectually. I mean, to attend Princeton and Harvard is very impressive. To serve our country in Iraq and Afghanistan and also at Guantanamo Bay, he deserves our praise, just like our soldiers all across the globe deserve our praise. But Major Garrett is a regular on this show, well-respected Washington, D.C. insider who is an excellent reporter, excellent commentator, and is not afraid to comment on either side. And Major on Friday made this comment that no other president outside of Donald Trump would have selected Pete Hegseth, considering his limited business experience, with some questions about the success of that, with the questions that we've all discussed before on allegations of drinking and abuse, that this was done because of Pete Hegseth's loyalty to Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth's appearances on Fox. In fact, he is an outstanding speaker. Do you disagree with Major Garrett?
I strongly disagree, and I had the benefit of sitting with Pete in meetings with the two United States senators, Chad, and every one of those meetings, by the way, they came with questions. They were about an hour long. Even the supporters, nobody wanted to be fooled. Nobody wanted to be embarrassed. And so Pete answered those questions, and answered to the satisfaction of certainly the majority there. But I have to say this. No other president, Donald Trump, would have moved the embassy to Jerusalem, but he did. Donald Trump wanted a disruptor. He said to Pete, when he asked him to do this, he said, "Pete, I've tried generals, I've tried CEOs, I've tried politicians. The Defense Department needs change. I need somebody with dirt on their boots who's kicked down doors to change, get back to the warfighter, get back to lethality, get back to standards, get rid of DEI, get rid of critical race theory, focus on a lethal military force that scares the enemy so we don't have to engage in wars." And I got to tell you, the Harvard-Princeton thing, it wasn't affirmative action. Pete is a smart guy, and he earned all that, and he earned the support of senators to get confirmed.
It was mainly partisan because all the Democrats voted no, but three individuals who you know, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitch McConnell, voted no. And in some ways, aren't they saying that you're exactly right what you said in what Donald Trump wants, and he's a disruptor, but that Donald Trump could have found someone with higher qualifications? Isn't that clearly what the Republicans were saying?
They were saying that from their perspective, he didn't have what they thought that you needed to have in a Secretary of Defense. Okay, I respect Susan, I respect Lisa, I respect Mitch, but Pete brings a different quality, and he you know, he's asked the question of, you know, so what do you run an $850 billion, you know, business? That's a Pentagon, the Defense Department, largest business in the world. And his response was, by the way, very few people have, and very few people have successfully. He says, I know what I don't know. My job is not to run the building. My job, he says, is to lead the people that run the building and to hold them accountable. And if they're not accountable, then get rid of and bring new folks in. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to know the building. They had a different perception of that. But I think Pete's right on. I think he's going to bring the qualities of a warfighter. You know, I got to tell you, 99% of the people in that building are probably thrilled that Pete is now there, because he knows them. He's fought in their wars. He was a medaled, you know, warrior, and so he brings that mentality. There were hundreds of Navy SEALs and Delta and Army folks there at that hearing. It was even the senators were somewhat overwhelmed, you know, showing their support for Pete because he's one of them. So he's brought somebody who's fought in the wars that they fought. He's not part of the military-industrial complex. He's not looking for a job on the board of Boeing and Lockheed when he gets done. He's looking to return the Defense Department to the concept of lethality. Anything not tied into lethality, not tied into making sure the warfighter is as best equipped as they can be. We don't want to fight wars. But when we go in, by the way, we want overwhelming in our force. We want to decisively beat the enemy, and they need to know we do that. And just one other thought. On day one, I make you bet that recruitment will change almost over, you know, immediately. When you have the Air Force Academy that tells its students that they didn't use the phrase mom or dad when they're writing home, when you have a Secretary of the Navy that says that the number one priority of the Navy is global warming, okay, something's wrong. Houston, you've got a problem. Pete's going to change. He already has changed it right away. Right away, DEI is out. Critical race theory is out. Lethality, standards, accountability, that's what he's bringing. And I think you'll see a very dramatic and positive change. And I got to tell you, I'm going to be real blunt. When I first heard the announcement, I wasn't sure myself. Well, Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. So what did you ask him? Because let me jump in. Those are serious. We've known each other 30 plus years. I know you care about any sort of allegations related to this. So what convinced you that either they didn't happen or he is a changed person? Because there were some conflicting comments, Norm, where I've learned and I'm a better person, or that didn't happen. And I think that added to some of the confusion from individuals who wanted to be objective.
No, listen, in my introduction, you know, I said that you know, I quoted, you know, Amazing Grace, okay? You know, Pete shows us that, you know, with redemption you can be saved. And by the way, I'm a Jewish kid saying that. But what changed me is having been with him in those meetings, having watched his response, you know, so he didn't have perfect marriages, okay? I'm sure there are decisions he made in life that he regrets. But is there any doubt in my mind that he is a capable person, that he brings now with, when he said he was saved by two J's, by Jesus and Jennifer, his wife. I watched them together. I watched her. I came away, Chad, really convinced that this guy has what it takes to get the job done. And that he really is true to himself. And you know, he said that, this is the biggest deployment that he'll ever have. Okay, so, you know, in deployments, you don't drink. He's deployed now. He's not coming home after war. And by the way, here's a guy who went to Princeton and then enlisted. He could have been on Wall Street. He could have been with Bear Stearns. He enlisted. Then he goes back. He does some things outside. And in the height of Afghanistan, he goes back in. Okay, and so he is a patriot. He's a warrior. And I really think that he's in a place in his life now that he will provide the kind of leadership that people can be proud of. And I believe that, and I saw it firsthand. And I would just say one other comment here. We did those 50-something meetings. I will tell you that in every meeting, we walked out better than we walked in, because the members had those questions, listened to him, listened to his response, listened to his vision of what he can do to move the department forward, to change recruiting, to focus on lethality, to focus on standards. And in every one of those meetings, we walked out better than we walked in. And so that's the reason that I walked away, saying this guy can do what needs to be done. You know, he's now the secretary. What do you call someone whose confirmation is decided by a tie vote and then a cast vote cast by the vice president, you call them Mr. Secretary. And he is the secretary, and yep. He's changed already day one. Day one, CRT, DEI, it's out. Lethality is the focus, and I think the warfighters will be proud of that.
Norm, hang on. We're going to squeeze in a short break. I have one more question, Pete Hegseth, but I want to get Norm's comments on other actions by President Trump. This is the former mayor of St. Paul, former Senator Norm Coleman, right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. We continue with the former Senator Norm Coleman, primarily on Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. Norm played a significant part in his confirmation process. We'll get to other matters tied to the Trump administration. Busy show today. Lisa Damoth, the Speaker, right now the Speaker of the House. They had the ruling from the Supreme Court, Minnesota Supreme Court, on Friday, which went against them. So where are we at with the deal? Overrated 105. 205 Chip Scoggins, and then this just added the police chief of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara, is with us at 235. Norm, why didn't Pete Hegseth meet with the Democrats? He's not Secretary of Defense only for Republicans. He's for the entire country. So, to me, he should stand up and meet with a number of Democrats also.
Chad, absolutely. We reached out to the Democrats shortly after his, like around Thanksgiving. Okay. They didn't want to meet. They didn't meet with him. They didn't respond. Literally a week before the
hearing. So not a single Democrat responded to requests.
No,
they all said they wouldn't meet with
him. Jack Reed, less than a week before the hearing, finally said, now we'll meet. So, and by the way, by that point, 10 of the 12 on the committee had filed a letter saying they were going to oppose his nomination. So Pete said, one, we weren't going to delay the confirmation to have meetings with folks who didn't respond when we kind of reached out earlier on. And then those had already said they're not going to confirm him. They're going to not oppose him. He said, I'll meet with him, but I'll meet with him after the confirmation. So, yes, he is the chairman.
Did he meet with him?
For everybody. He met with Fetterman and he met with Jack Reed. Okay, but he wasn't going to hold off the confirmation to meet with folks who didn't respond over a month earlier. And so he will meet with everyone, even though they had already made up their minds and before the hearing. They had signed a letter saying they were going to oppose him, but he will still meet with them because he needs to work with them. He knows that, and he's prepared to work with all of them. And so he'll have that out.
I'll look forward to that. Let me just jump in to try to get to a number of items because you're great on this, but I want to try to jump in and get to – here's my last Hegseth situation.
Okay.
Most presidents get what they want from their secretary. So I'm not acting like Trump is different from Biden and Bush and Obama, et cetera. But occasionally, and you know this well, secretaries of vitally important positions have to say no. As an example, Mark Esper, defense secretary. When Donald Trump wanted to use the military on protesters in D.C., he convinced Donald Trump, the president of the United States, you shouldn't do that. Pete Hegseth, to me, is always loyal to Donald Trump, and he's allowed to do that. But his top loyalty now is to the United States of America. Convince me and the audience, if they are skeptical, that there are going to be times when Pete Hegseth is going to stare the president of the United States in his face and say, we should not do that.
So first of all, just so you understand, his oath is both to the Constitution and probably, I think, a different oath than any other cabinet member. He swears, to uphold the Constitution. That's his oath, okay? Also, by the way, to obey the orders of the commander-in-chief. So that's his, as you get sworn in, you start with that. I think what Esper did and what Pete will do is he'll give his best judgment to the president. Ultimately, the president will pass the order. Okay, I have no doubt that he will bring his best judgment to the table, and then the president ultimately will make the decision. I think he understands that. He took an oath to it. His oath is to the Constitution of the United States. It's also to follow the orders of the commander-in-chief. So his obligation, Chad, is to give the commander-in-chief his best counsel. Esper gave the commander-in-chief his best counsel, and then ultimately the commander-in-chief made the decision. Pete Hegseth will give the commander-in-chief his best counsel, and ultimately the commander-in-chief will give the final decision. That's the way the system works. That's what Esper did, and I have no doubt that's what Hegseth will do.
Donald Trump was wrong for pardoning the individuals who committed violent assaults on the police officers, correct?
Yeah, I would not have made that decision. I don't think that was the right thing to do.
What did he do?
And let me just say this. What I do understand is that, you know, you look at the January 6th folks and how they were treated and the severity of the offenses and all done in federal court, long sentences. And then you look, you know, Portland, you know, post George Floyd, 100 people charged, 60 dismissed, the rest of them minor. Most, I don't even know if they went into federal court. Is there disparity in treatment? Absolutely. If anyone is involved in something that involves an attack on an officer, I wouldn't have made that decision.
The Middle East means a great deal to you. We have a ceasefire, which is obviously very tenuous because Hamas cannot be trusted. And there's obviously a lot of pressure on Bibi Netanyahu from all throughout his government. When Donald Trump says over the weekend that what should happen is we should clean out all of Gaza, that Jordan should step up, that Egypt should step up as a very loyal supporter of Israel, why should Palestinians believe that if they're forced to go to other countries, they'll be even allowed to go back to Gaza? And I'm not talking Hamas. Hamas is despicable. I want them all arrested, eliminated. I'm talking Palestinians who want to live a normal life that you and I are living and that all the people who are listening to us right now have a chance to live.
And ultimately, we need peace in the region, and the killing has to stop. Certainly, terrorists like Hamas cannot be allowed to have any power. But Chad, this is kind of interesting. I think Donald Trump is approaching that as a builder. And what I mean that is so people are going back into Gaza in buildings that have been kind of, you know, taken apart. You couldn't get a certificate of occupancy in the worst slum in the United States to allow people to go back there. And I think Donald Trump, honestly, and I haven't spoken to him about this, but I think he's bringing a builder's mentality. So, you know, something you just got to tear those things down. You got to get rid of the tunnels underneath. You got to rebuild. And so if you have and so I'm just saying that ultimately.
But will the Palestinians be allowed to go back and live there?
Well, they should be. And you should have the other, the Egypts and the Jordans and the Saudi Arabias and others involved, our allies in the region, our friends in the region, kind of working together to rebuild. But I honestly think that is a very practical comment from somebody who's been a builder and looks and says, wait, so we're going to send people back into this kind of rubble, this environment that is just absolutely toxic. So you know, ultimately, you've got to have peace in the region. The hostility has to stop. Okay, and folks have to live together. But Israel can't live together if you've got a group of folks who are intent on killing every Jew. And that's what they were doing on October 7th. That's what they have vowed to continue to do. So Hamas has to be totally destroyed. Secretary Hegseth said online, you know, kill all of Hamas. And I agree with him on that. But ultimately, there's got to be peace in the region. I think Trump's comments were from a very practical perspective. How you work it out, I don't have the solution. But it is going to take our friends in the region and the United States working together to find a reach a resolution in which the Palestinian people, okay, finally have a future and a positive future. But it can't be a future if they're voting in and they're giving the reins of leadership to a terrorist group like Hamas.
Last thing, and I appreciate your time, Norm Coleman here. Clearly, Israel should have responded with force. Innocent individuals who had nothing to do with government and the military apparatus were slaughtered. They were tortured. They're still being held hostage, and Hamas needs to pay for that. But we also have a lot of Palestinians who had nowhere to go, did not want to be part of it, and I get that in war, innocents die. We've done it before. As much as you support Israel, do you believe too many Palestinians died as collateral damage to the atrocious, indefensible actions by Hamas?
I believe that Israel, probably more than any other nation on earth, does more to kind of avoid collateral damage, more than, by the way, we did in Iraq, we did in other places. They call cell phones. They drop leaflets. They do all that they can do. And you have Hamas, and that's where the responsibility is. They use hospitals to hold hostages. They use civilians as shields. They don't care who dies. And so everyone puts it on Israel, but Hamas, who started this on October 7th, it's Hamas who uses their own people as human shields. It's Hamas. We're seeing all the reports now of hostages being held in UN facilities. And so in the end, Israel has to get rid of Hamas. Otherwise, Hamas will do what even today they still say they want to do, which is to kill all the Jews. And that can't be allowed to happen, Chad.
How's your health?
Chad, my health is great. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a cancer in the neck and throat, stage four. 5 years ago, they said we probably should do palliative when they thought it had come back again. They literally said, you can go up to your lake place in northern Minnesota and let's do palliative. That means you're going to die. And I did immunotherapy. And the last time I went, which is a little less than a year, I got to go back in a few months. They told me I don't have to come back. So I do blood tests every 3 months and to see if I have tumor DNA in my blood, and it hasn't shown any. Chad, I'm a believer in miracles. I have to tell you, David Ben-Gurion, first prime minister of Israel, said anybody who doesn't believe in miracles is not a realist. I can tell you, I went from they thinking I was going to die to immunotherapy. And I actually said to my doc, so wait, you thought I was going to die, right? And she said, well, you know, about 25% of the time with immuno, it shrinks the tumors. And yeah, we really did. For whatever reason, you're doing okay. And literally they said, we'd like you to come back to do long-term studies, but you don't have to come back. So I'm still going back to Mayo. I'm doing the blood test. But God has been very good to me, Chad.
Always appreciate it, sir. We'll talk again soon.
Take care. Great talking to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Norm Coleman right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Lottery action. I'll try to get to it later, but we just have more guests than we normally do because we were able to track down a lot of good people, including Lisa Damoth. Supreme Court ruling in Minnesota goes against him Friday. Why don't we have a deal? Or do we have a deal? Because Melissa Hortman was spotted at the Capitol earlier today. Did they meet? Does she want to break some news with us? Lisa Damoth, Republican. Right now, Speaker of the House is minutes away on CCO.